Blog Talk Radio.
The Spirit of God is in this place. The Spirit of God is strong in this place. I feel His anointing strong here. If you might have been expecting something, just open your spirit to receive. Whether you're watching us through the networks, open your spirit to receive. This song is entitled Holy Spirit.
Welcome to 2024 Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette, rejoicing in the Lord and in the beauty of His holiness and in His awesome fellowship. And I welcome you to Words from the Word. This will be our first look at our new book, The Tongue, A Creative Force by James Capps. I am grateful that you have joined us this morning. I'm excited because there's a word that God has for us, and there are things that He desires to impart to us from this literary thesis of Charles Capps. And so we want to look at it with fresh eyes, new eyes. Lord, take us deeper. Take us to places we've never been in a word that we've heard over and over again. Bring us into an understanding of the power of what you're sharing with us so that we will understand the authority that we have, and our journey will be a victorious, joyful one. We are so grateful that you have been faithful in sharing on our Friday Fellowship of Learners. I trust that everyone has the book. I'm going to read a beginning in the book, but the book is on Audible, and it is available on Kindle. And it's extremely accessible. So we want to welcome you. You're on a speaker. If anyone would like to speak this morning, salutations and or prayers or your desire this year to glean something specific from our Friday Fellowship of Learners. With a focus and a goal, not just because it's a routine, but excited about what God wants to say to us, because there is word from the Lord. There is a word from the Lord, and there are things that he wants to reveal to us. So I give you this opportunity to share. Good morning. Okay, well, we'll get right into the lesson. The scripture base for this book comes out of the book of James, and it says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So we see several things that this scripture wants us to start focusing on. There is a call here to examine ourselves, to examine ourselves. It says, if any man among you seem to be religious, examine yourself. And they don't bridle their tongue, but they deceive their own heart. So we see here that the heart is deceitful, and that our heart, and we have had our studies about the heart. We went through the 33 heart precepts. I think we should go through them as we go through this book to understand the area that we need to surrender to God in what's in our heart, so that it will then bring words out of our mouth that are glorifying to God. Then in James 3, 5 and 6 and then 8, it says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And so at first glance at this, it seems a little hopeless here. Who can rule their tongue? But when we look at James, it shares some methods of ruling and directing, and it gives examples of a boat. And if someone could get this scripture in another version, like the Message or Living Word, that will be great.
Can you say the scripture again, overseer?
Yes, it is James, the 3rd chapter, the 5th and 6th verse, and then the 8th verse. The book of James. 3rd chapter, 5th and 6th verse, and then the 8th verse.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, I got it. 5th and 6th. Okay. My phone. Okay. The 3rd chapter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Message. There we go. Message. Okay. And you said 5th, 6th, and 8th verse. And it says,
yes.
a bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. And that's 3, 5. And it said, only takes a spark. Remember to set off a forest fire. And 8, and the strong, the tongue runs wild, a wanton killer. With our tongue, we bless God, our Father. With the same tongue, we curse the very man and woman he made in his image. Curses and blessings out of the same mouth. So that's the message.
Amen. Anybody have another version? I have the Amplified. It says, now if we put bits into the horse's mouth to make them obey us, we guide their whole body as well. So they give us the answer of how to do it by giving us the example of what is done to horses and to ships. And each one, there's someone, it says, that has to intervene with something that is more powerful, even though it's small and doesn't seem that it can do it, like what can turn, you know, the power of a horse. And it's this little thing that's in its mouth. But it's made to obey by that little thing in its mouth. And we want to see that little thing in the mouth of the horse that turns it to this direction or that direction, that guides it and makes it obey as the word of God. And then the other example is the rudder that's on a ship. And it says a skilled person will be able to navigate the rudder to move the huge ship. And so I, when we look at that, we want to remember our scripture that tells us, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, but rightly devise the word of God. You become skilled in the word of God, skilled because you're familiar with it. You made yourself a student of it, and then you have done the, what do they call it, your application work. When you are an apprentice, you not just learn how to do it, and then there's tags that, like with doctors, you go into residence, and you then start to put what you learn into action. And so he's showing us here that this is no small thing. So there's a couple of things that we need to look at when it says that a man who thinks himself religious but does not bridle his tongue, he's being deceived in his heart. So when we see that and we understand, because now we understand the word of God, then we understand what our role is in that person's life and in our own life. That there is some things that we need to do. There's some things that we need to grab a hold to from the word of God. And that's where the tool of the 33 heart conditions is very, very helpful, because it gives you a direction that you need to focus on. So we see that in the heart conditions, there are getting my list out. There are things that we are admonished to be a part of our life. And remember, it says that that spark is what sets on fire. But what puts out the fire of hell is the word of God. And so Jesus gave us what our attitude, our mindset, our response to life should be. And in doing so, it gives us a idea of the position of our heart, that our hearts need to be. And when we find that they're not there, then we can see what the violation is. We can understand that it is going to not properly direct and navigate what comes out of our mouth, because what's in our heart is not giving glory to God. It is not honoring his word. It really is honoring our flesh. We have chosen our flesh over God's response to what he says our life should be. I think that if you just look at the list, and I think it's good if you get your list, your 33 heart precepts, and pick a couple every week as we're going through this book on words. Pick a couple and identify the condition, particularly the violation. So we want to be able to integrate all of these teachings together, and that's what's going to be necessary to rule our tongue. Otherwise, we cannot do it. We absolutely cannot do it. So I think one of the first things we want to remember is our word curse prayer, because there are times that we did not do this, and we did release curses from our own mouths. We have painted our walk with prayers that were ineffective because they weren't based on the word of God. They weren't based on those things that bring hope and power, but rather they were agreeing with the enemy. The author gives a couple of examples in he gives a couple of examples even of how we pray and who we pray to, and the fact that the word has to be what is in our hearts and comes from our spirit when we communicate with God. So words, God's word that is conceived in our hearts, then formed by the tongue and spoken out of our own mouth, become a spiritual force releasing the ability of God within us. And if that ability is positive, it brings life. If it's negative, it brings death. The power of death and life is in the tongue, in your tongue, because you have been given that authority. Your words have been given that power. I thought it was very interesting that the book starts really in Genesis in presenting how God created the world and how he spoke, and just emphasizing this because it's bringing to our understanding who we are. I believe that this is going to be pivotal in our conversation going forward. a change in the sound of our conversation. We had the sound conference, and we thought of, we touched on all of the elements of worship and the different things you do for worship. One of the greatest things we do for worship is what comes out of our mouth. It's our words, not just in a worship service, but in our living, in our lifestyle. And so it is for us to bring the powerful truth into our understanding so that we guard what comes out of our mouth, because it's powerful and it needs to be purposeful. And when we realize what God did with a word, let there be, and it came into being, we were going to come to a place where we understand when we say it, it will come to pass as we dwell in Christ. And so these are things that in order to yield, if you will, this powerful, authoritative weapon that we have, we need to become students of the word. We need to become embracing the truth, and it needs to be what is the structure and the desire of our heart. Because he said, whatever things you desire, when you ask the Father, he will do it. That's quite a powerful promise. And it is not a, well, but not this time or not that time, or made for this person or made for that not person. No, it is exactly like he said. And he wanted us to understand that, I believe, when he gave such details of the creation of the world, of the universe. And he gave us an understanding of what came as a result of the words that he had said, so that we understand our words are creative in nature. They are creative because they've been given the authority by the Creator, okay, to go forth in the world. There were some things that we were tasked to do in Genesis. And I believe this is time to study those first three or four books of chapters in the book of Genesis, so that we can see a new God's eye perspective of what he was sharing with us. And we know on the first day he did this, and the second day he did that. But we need to stop with each day. I know the author says he believes that the span from one day to another could very well be 1,000 years, because the Bible said that one day is like 1,000 years to God. It's no big deal. And so we even see in that what we say has a, somebody said it didn't have an expiration date, but it does have a date to manifest. It has a manifest. It has a date. It must appear, put it that way. And it is not for us to decide or declare when that time is. And it's just understanding it shall be, which is what brought it to pass. He shared about many of the saints in the word of God were given these promises, like Sarah, and she had to wait over 20 years for it. But it came to pass because the word of God is going to come to pass. It just says that word came to pass. Every word he has spoken will come to pass. When he was creating the world and he was speaking as relates to the earth and the things that grow on the earth, he said, but when you looked at the earth, you didn't see them. But because he said it, it was in the earth. It just had not sprung forth from the earth. And so what he did was take that one little spot, the Garden of Eden, and cause it to grow the way right then and there, so that the human, the man, would have a place to dwell. So he created it because of our need. Now, there was a law of planting and harvesting, and him, just the way his word will establish a thing, and there were aspects of it had to follow that law, but there was a portion of it that was instantaneous. And that's just like there are deliverances sometimes that's instantaneous. And then there are others that we don't labor through, but we labor till they fully manifest. We wait on them. We trust that they will come and they will exist. And so the words that come out of our mouths are treasures to the earth, because we were given the authority by God. He gave to Adam the authority to name everything, to take care of everything. So it was pretty much what Adam said is how that garden was to be nourished and to thrive and to grow and to develop and to create was by what Adam spoke. And so we're understanding that what comes out of our mouth has a power of creation. It has a power of creation. When we declare the promises of God, we are creating, a miracle or the atmosphere for the miracle to manifest itself. So we have the bit is in our mouth to speak what needs to happen to turn the horse or to the rudder, to turn the rudder. We have that power for giving direction and creating in the earth realm what is desired in our heart by asking it of the Lord. Whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. We have learned how to work with natural law. Now we must learn how to work with God's law. And so often he gives the illustration of electricity and the fact that it is very, very helpful in many, many ways. But you have to understand, you have to be a student of how to use electricity, what to do and what not to do. And just as powerful of a help it can be, it can also be just that powerful of a disaster if we do not follow the laws concerning electricity. And so what we have to understand is we must follow the laws of words, the laws of the kingdom of God. And those laws of the kingdom of God, that's what's in Matthew 6 and 7. That's what's in the Sermon on the Mount. Those are the laws of the spirit realm. Those are the things that are to be observed by us and written in our hearts so that it can then be released over the earth realm. The earth is waiting on us to speak because we were given the authority to nourish the world, to nourish this earth. And so those things that even run amok, we becomes our responsibility, children of God, because we were given that authority through the power Jesus of resurrection and his blood and his name. And so those things that are a tribute to him will be a tribute to us when we surrender our own spirit to him. So the words that come forth out of our mouth, they work for us to if you control these words and bring them into obedience to the spiritual law, which is the word of God, words governed by spiritual law become spiritual forces working for you. Idle words work against you. The spirit world is controlled by the word of God. the natural world is to be controlled by man speaking God's word. So it becomes our responsibility. When it doesn't go right and we're looking in the earth realm, it's not going right, we are not doing what we were assigned to do in the garden, which was to take care of the earth and the animals and all things on the earth. They became our responsibility. And if we do not understand the scope of that responsibility, then we tend to fall short of what is needed. And so as a result, it is then a place of, I was going to say weakness, because then the enemy knows that we don't understand the power we have. And just like Adam really gave that authority over to Satan in the garden, that's what we're doing every time we fail to release in the earth realm the word of God. And that's what everything we say, everything we do, everything we think, because even in our thoughts and in our attitudes, we're releasing a spiritual force. It's a spirit. It is a reality. It is a spiritual law that created, just as it created the universes and the stars and the moon and the sun and the planets and everything in them and on them, that's that same power our words have, our thoughts have. And so we need to surrender them. We need to, I was going to say, immerse them in the word of God, so that is what comes forth. And so that's when we start to understand there is no, oh, that doesn't matter. It all matters. It all matters because of the authority in our tongue, in our voice. And then we have to remember, because God gave us this authority through Jesus Christ, we have this. Then, you know, we always say we're his ambassadors, you know, we're all of these things. But we don't really fully understand what that means. Okay, it is, first of all, an ambassador has, he is not, the world around them can't do anything to him. You know, and no matter where he is, he has, I know the word begins with either A or N, anonymity or something. But, you know, he can do anything he wants. They can't touch him because he's an ambassador. Wherever he goes, he is that place that he represents. So no matter where we go, we are heaven. And there are some spiritual laws regarding heaven. And those spiritual laws regarding heaven becomes then our refuge, our fortress, the cloak upon our lives because of the word of God, because of the word of God. All right. Okay. Questions, comments, insights, what you receive. These chapters are rather short and brief. They're powerful, but we want to interact with them because there's insight that God is going to give us, and we want to share. Okay.
Overseer, I think that sometimes we forget that we are ambassadors to Christ, that we do represent him in every facet and in every aspect of our lives, no matter where we're at. So I thought that that was a good reminder of the fact that we have the responsibility of repping Christ, and then the power that he's giving us, just as in the garden when Adam named everything and it was what he said, the power of the fact that it is what we say it is and how we are to execute and just handle that kind of power and authority. And I think that sometimes, well, I can speak for me, but sometimes I forget that, you know, it was whatever Adam said it was. He didn't have a script. He didn't, you know, nothing. He didn't have anything to give him a parameter by which to call something. And so we don't always have anything to go by, but the power and authority that's been released upon us and in us to just name it. So that was a powerful illustration of the power of the tongue. So thank you.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? You know, and I believe that as we surrender, well, it's more than even surrender. As we seek, he says, seek and you'll find. Knock, it'll be open. Ask. I think as we start, and these are, when we start doing these things, he will show us a new level of power that we have. He can't show us, and he can, but he wouldn't show us all of it right now because we wouldn't know what to do with it. We're not students of it enough right now for all of it. But that which we have made ourselves students of, he is going to release through us. One of the things that the scripture says, and we've quoted it, is that, you know, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So it's lack of knowledge of the spiritual law, because we don't know and understand the spiritual law, we perish in that abundant life that Christ came to give us. Now, it didn't have to come. But because he came so that we can have the abundant life. We can have the joy. We can go back to and recapture our original purpose and dominion over the earth. There's a lot of things that, you know, I used to think, you know, I would tell them, say, oh, it's a bee. It's like, that bee can't bother me. No. You know, and so I believe that. I really believe that because, you know, I believe God's word. Now, you know, there's a lot of things that you sometimes have to tell yourself over and over to repeat them so that you hear, and by hearing, you have faith in what you hear, which you're saying what God says. And then when that becomes the case, it's like when, you know, someone has said, well, you know, this is so hard. You know, I have to say, the Bible says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn of me. So I'm understanding whatever becomes hard is because I'm not learning some aspects of God that he knows will make it take the burden off of me. Once I understand it, once I learn it, once I embrace it, I take my own shoulder from under the weight of the burden because I understand it's on his. And so there are just so many things that when we say them, and how often have we been told to say it out loud, to pray out loud, because we need to hear it. We need to hear it, and hearing of faith comes by hearing. It'll even come by hearing our own mouth say what God has said. And so when we say that, you know, then we become knowledgeable. By people perish for lack of knowledge. We don't know the spiritual law that is associated with words. And so words have become a place that kills and destroys us. Words, you know, the sticks and stones can break up on the words. That is not true. And we can't say that because that's an idle word. And as long as we say that, we're not understanding what words will do. And then understanding, but I have authority over the words that you say to me that are not according to the word of God, because I understand my spiritual law of words, of our conversation. When we understand and apply the spiritual law, we will understand how to control what is happening in the earth realm. We will understand how to release in the earth realm so that they will release it in heaven, and how to bind on earth so that they will bind it in heaven, because we have said it. Because we have said it. So we want to remember that the people must understand, and they won't understand if we allow idle words, if we allow foolish jesting, if we allow, well, you know, that ain't, you know, jokes and things of that nature. They become weapons in the hands of the enemy against the children of God because of the power of our voice, of words, because with words we create, which is why faith comes by hearing. That's which is why it's believing what you can't see, but you say it. And because you say it, just as God said, let there be, then it shall be, and he will bring it to pass because we have asked for it. So we want to, realize that there are so many scriptures that we know that's been released to us that gives us information, and we've only scraped off the top of it because there's so much more underneath, so much more behind it to bring us, and bring us to a place of the abundant life that's full of joy. A good man out of the good measures, treasures of the heart, bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. Jesus said, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So we need to understand this desire is so that we have these heart precepts established and released in the earth realm. Undivided heart, a forgiving heart, a believing heart, a non-hypocritical heart, a wise heart, a seeking heart, a loving heart, a heart sold out for God, a discerning heart, an obedient heart. These are the things that we want to release out of our mouth. In order to release that type of an environment, it must be first in our heart. And we say, well, if undivided heart, one of the violations is, though they were rich, but they were poor. Idolatry, inordinate affection. Some said there was no resurrection. They were not living for the eternal, but to exhort to be separated, exhorted to be separated. So when we hear those things, it's dividing us from the spiritual law that is to rule and reign in our hearts. So what comes out of our mouth and what comes out of our thinking, our mind, our attitude, our behavior is violating the spiritual law. And so as a result, the earth is laboring and trembling and crying out for the sons of men to get back in line with the spiritual law so that the earth can be healed. So that the earth can be healed. And so when we see this, even in the scripture of, where he says, if my people, that scripture, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray to the Father with the desire, humble themselves, that your desire become what God desires, that your desire come from a heart that is forgiving, undivided, believing. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I heal the land. And so I think we will understand that a lot of what we shake our heads at and twist and oh my gosh and do those things, we are really putting wood on the fire for the enemy. Because what we need to do is release, you know, what should be, what will honor God, what will please God, what will be forgiven, so that the earth will heal. The earth will heal. Okay. In the word abiding in you, that causes faith to be present in your words. If ye abide in me, and my word abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, a heart to glorify God, that ye here bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Notice it glorifies the Father when we get our prayers answered and our needs met. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Your joy can be full if the words of Mark 11 and 24 abide in you. When you pray, faith will make prayer work. Prayer won't work without faith. Faith will work without prayer. Prayer is one of the means of releasing your faith. So if you will line yourself up with the Word of God and release your faith when you pray, you will see the power of God come alive in our lives. And then this gives us an understanding of why the Bible says pray without ceasing, because every word that comes out of our mouth should be aligned with God's word and for God's glory. And so the word of God is just as powerful today as it was that day that he spoke it. Not one bit of power has left the word of God. God's created power is still in his word, just as it was when he stood there in the beginning of time and said, light be. The light was. This is the thing that we need to see. We can speak God's word after him, and they will work for us. For they must be formed in your spirit. They must become a part of you. They must abide in you continuously. The beginning words God created. What did he use to create the heavens and earth? He used his words. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which were not seen were not made of things which do appear. The word was not made out of things you can see. You can't see spoken words, nor can you see faith with the physical eye. The words that God spoke out of his mouth framed this universe. It set it in motion, and it stands today in obedience to the words that God spoke. He said, let there be firmament in the midst of the water, and he divided, and it divided the water from the water. It came into being and divided the water from the land, and it is still divided from land to this day. The universe is still obeying the command, the words of God, just as it will our words as well when we desire him. Let there be. This was the creative power that flowed out of God's mouth that turned the universe into light and caused every creation to come into being. And God said, let there be man in his image, after his likeness, and let there be let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. This is the word of God. It is coming to pass. It is established. It is true. We gave it up in the garden, but we got it back in the garden when Christ rose from the grave. And so we are in this place. These things are true about us. And, I mean, if we just read it and allow the Holy Spirit to give us an insight of just how deep this goes, how pervasive this is. When God delegated the power to man to dominate this earth, he created Adam. Then he put that authority in Adam and said, now you dominate the earth. That's us. We dominate the earth. We are to rule the earth. Then there came that snake, the enemy. But then there came Christ. Okay, the Redeemer. The kinsman Redeemer who brought us back and got that power back. Got that power back for us. God's word came and took flesh upon itself. Have you wondered how God did that? Some theologians say it can't be done. A virgin can't bear a child. It's impossible. But the word of God says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. It will not be impossible for God to fulfill his every declaration. Whatever God says, he will perform. If you will notice throughout the Bible, God never does anything that he didn't say first. He said it, then he did it. The power to do it is in the word. It says the Bible tells us that he is upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, it didn't say by the power of his word. It said by the word of his power. So in other words, the word declares his power. The word declares his power. The power does the word. The Holy Spirit put that in the exact way it was supposed to be. The word of his power. In other words, have you heard about what he can do? That's the word. What's the first? That's why you need to hear for your faith to be established. You must hear. So if he had said the power of his word, that would have meant that there is some power in God's word, but not all power. In other words, words, that's their words. That's where his power is the word in what he says. It's not impossible for God to perform his every declaration. He can declare and do exactly what he says he's going to do. And we find that God created man with the ability to operate in that same kind of faith. Control those words that come forth out of our mouths and bring them into obedience to the word of God, which is God's spiritual law, and they will rule and reign because that's what God established it to do. Amen.
Yes, and amen.
insight, inspiration.
Good morning, Overseer.
Good morning.
You know, one of the things that, excuse me, just that last statement when you're talking about the word of his power, that his power is in the word, which is, you know, it is written,
yeah.
You know, whatever the word says. But there is a statement that you read a couple minutes ago where it talks about that prayer does not work without faith. That faith can work without prayer, but it's faith in something other than the word of God. So you can believe something. It might not be God ordained, but if you want your prayers to work, there has to be faith that is fueling it in the word of God, God's power. And I think that sometimes we have faith in faith, you know, because we believe something that we want it to happen so intensely, then we say, okay, Lord, what happened? You know, you know I need this, or you know I want this, or you know I believe this, but it is not backed up by the word of God. So, you know, faith in faith is futile. You know, it has to be faith in the word of God, and the whole idea that praying the word back to him, as opposed to, like, praying our problems or, you know, and I think that it's just so easy to do because, I was going to say we market, but you understand what I mean. I say that very cautiously. But, you know, what we tell people, you know, just ask. Just name it and claim it. If you believe it, you can have it. Not necessarily, you know, because so many of the promises of God are contingent on something else. You know, I mean, are contingent on you doing one thing. You know, it's not just, I need it, I want it, I'm saying it. But, you know, am I walking in obedience? You know, am I meeting the qualifications of whatever his word says for whatever it is that I'm desiring? So that piece, and then I guess my last thing that hit me, because I know that, you know, when you were talking about the bit in the horse's mouth, that... I know we've had conversations on debate and things like that, and some of that stuff is so hard, personally, for me to move back on. I have to consciously be thinking, okay, there's so many opportunities to say things that gratify my flesh. I'm trying to figure a way to say it. Not necessarily things that are untruthful or anything like that, but things that don't necessarily edify. You know, people leave openings, you know, and that has always been just in my personality. You know, you say something stupid, you know, you know what I mean. I'm trying not to make it seem so personal, but I know that... just in listening and in having conversations, that sometimes I have to catch myself, because before I know it, you know, I've said something that might not edify, that might be an unnecessary comment. I'll put it that way. Like I said, it's not necessarily untruthful, but if it's not edifying, then, you know, for me, then that would be sin, because, you wouldn't have to say that dig, you know, or, okay, Captain Obvious, you know. And the world, I believe, applauds and shows us, like, okay, you know, don't let nobody get the upper hand on what they're saying. You know, you know, almost like it's our job to be the one, you know. I'm just saying personally, that is a struggle. I'm doing much better, but, you know, sometimes I just think it and chuckle to myself, like, oh, okay, well, thank you, Lord, that I didn't say it. You know, and I might have to repent because I thought it, but, you know, that, you know, at least, you know, some type of growth in, you know, in those kinds of things that, because words are so powerful, and death and life is in the power of the tongue. And I know because I've read this book a couple times that the exhilaration and the power that comes from reading it, but how easily we can slide back into old habits.
Right.
I mean, it is something that you have to cultivate and be mindful that, you know, every word, you know, I mean, for me, I put it this way, for me, that it is so easy to slip back into words that don't promote what I want, you know, from the Father, words that don't appropriate his goodness and his blessings for me and for others, but are sending out, you know, whatever, negative, I'm saying negative vibes because I just can't think of anything else, but just to send out negative the energy or whatever, you know, and I guess, and you can tell me if this is wrong, but if it's not of God, it's going to be of Satan. So really, it's promoting what he wants to be promoted. And even if, like I said, even if it might not be a lie, might not be incorrect, but if it is tarnishing a witness because I'm not giving somebody grace, you know, then that gets to go back to me on pride, because it's like, oh, that's out of line, and let me tell you how out of line it is. Like, well, that's not necessarily my place, as opposed to, you know, Lord, let me see your people the way you see your people. Let me not be presumptuous in whatever it is going on with them, you know, that's making them either say or do or, you know, or whatever. So that, along with the whole idea that, you know, I know y'all don't cuss, but, you know, I know sometimes some things just rise up and it's like, okay, Lord, let me just, you know, remind me. Because even in the case where in using profane language, not necessarily directed toward anybody, like not, this probably sounds really crazy and random, but, you know, I'm just going to say it, cursing people out, I don't mean it like that. But sometimes in just talking, where it's like, oh, an expletive will punctuate what I'm saying. So that be-de-de-de-de-de-de, you know, and it's like, okay, God, give me words that I don't have to feel like I need to do that to make my point. And I know I don't. But like I said, this that's my issue. You know, I got a bunch of word issues. but God is gracious. You know what I mean? He showed himself faithful recently, you know, where it's like, you ain't got to say nothing. You know, submit it, give it to me, and I'll just handle it. And he has, and he's shown himself faithful. So I know that he can do it when we let him do it, you know, without a doubt, you know. Anyway, that's my ramble for today.
Oh, that's a good ramble. You know, and I think that's something that, I think it's true for everybody. I do. And I believe that, you know, because even as you were speaking, it's as though, I lost the thought just that quick, but it is true for everybody. And yet, you know, the enemy tells us, you know, it's not that deep, but it really is, because we have been given this authority. So the enemy is saying that. And I think that what I'm learning to do now is when he says that, I'm hearing Satan tell Eve in the garden, oh, God didn't say that. You could do it. It'll be all right. You are a liar. Okay. And so, I have to keep remembering that, because that's how he works. That's how he slips it in and makes us think, you know, I said it, you know, what's the big deal? But he knows the authority in my voice. He knows the authority in the words that I say. And I am using them for him. And I know you had mentioned something, and you said it's not like there's something wrong or whatever. But what it is unrighteousness. And because Christ is our righteousness, every time we do something that's unrighteous, okay, we're to be pricked in our hearts because it's against Christ. He is the righteous one. Everything he endured was for righteousness' sake. So here I am, not mattering if I say this, you know, there's nothing really wrong with it, you know. Yeah, it is not righteous. And like you were saying, it doesn't glorify God. So then it has no place or purpose in my life. And I think once we start thinking that, and we're not raised to think that. You know, we're raised to make accomplishments, do things, and, you know, have these goals and whatever. No, just abide in Jesus. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it in every word that he says. That's what that's what Christ said. And he's the Son of God. He told the devil, no man must not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth. That's it. That's all. He didn't have nothing else to say. So he had a lot of experience. He knew a lot of people. He was involved with a whole bunch of famous people. He didn't mention them. He didn't mention, all he said was what the word said. And that was all that was necessary. Because anything other than that, he was opening a portal for the enemy to come in and take his authority, his holiness, his without sinness, if that's such a thing. So
I was just going to say one last thing is that what I have experienced, and I'm sure I've done it myself more often than I would care to remember, but the saints will weaponize the truth and use it as a weapon against other saints. And we fall back on that justification that it is the truth. But, you know, factually it may be the truth, but it doesn't edify, it doesn't allow us to show grace to each other. You know, I see this all the time in church where, you know, people say, well, that is the truth. I just told them what I thought. You know, that's whatever. That cologne was just too loud. And I told her, you giving me, you know, whatever. We're like, well, we don't give people grace. We say whatever it is, and we hide behind, well, that's the truth, and I'm speaking the truth. You know, that kind of thing where there is no temperance with whatever it is. And when you look at those last three fruit of the Spirit, which, you know, our integrity and our temperance and our, I can't think of the last one, but okay, here it is. Our self-control, you know, it's meekness or humility, you know, and our self-control that we don't do it in an honorable way, you know, and we won't allow. Sometimes I believe it's just being stiff-necked. Where we won't allow the Holy Spirit to get in and show us that's not the way God wants us to operate, you know, that, like I said, it makes certain things may be factual, but it's not edifying, it's not blessing the person, you're not putting people in a way where they can receive from you, you know, those kinds of things. It's almost a prideful thing, let me tell you, let me show you, and of course I can say whatever, because that's the truth, I speak the truth. You know, and it's like, well, really not, because you're not speaking it in love. You know, are you speaking it in love if it's going to bless and lift up somebody? Okay, I'm really done.
And no, that's perfect, because what it's saying is that scripture we had talked about last week is rightly dividing the word of God. That's not studying so you're self-approved. So that you broke that law, okay? So... and which is why we can't, I won't say that, but that's why we must be students of the word, because then we'll learn, perish for lack of knowledge. We don't know when to use the truth. You know, or we'll use it. You use this truth, but you disobeyed this truth, which is full of grace and seasoned with salt. I was definitely guilty. Absolutely. And even now I have to, you know, like you said, it's a continuous reminder and desire and even evaluating, okay, was that full of grace? You know, was that full of grace? And so just knowing that, you know, this is something that it's a lifestyle. You know, it's not a, you know, I did it right this time. It's I got to do it right this time. Because that's what's in my heart. You know, not because that's what's on the paper and I want to do what's on the paper. No, because that's what's in my heart. And what's in my heart, he promised me he would write his law on my heart. So yeah. I need to find that page in my heart that he wrote it on. So we will be on chapter 2. I think it's going to be a very interesting and very personal reading because it's definitely, you know, it involves us. We will be very involved in this because our tongue is. Praise the Lord. Absolutely. So, I don't know what else is going on, but definitely first Sunday in the new year, let's anticipate a new and exciting level of worship. That song that I tried to play that was horrible, but Oceans, mm-hmm. you know, that take us, you know, where, you know, my feet. Right, where my trust is without borders and what you say? And where we can walk on water. I heard somebody say, you know, something about, well, we can't walk on water where we're supposed to. So we should have that kind of faith. And I, you know, and I regret I did not correct them. But I after I thought about it, I said, well, maybe they can't walk on water, so they don't need to try. Who am I? You know, somebody else said, we're going to baptize in the lake. I said, not me. You know, we can't find a pool somewhere, a hotel. You know, I'm not taking no kids to no lake. I said, the only thing I can do is wave back to them. I mean, no. But, you know, mindful of what, where our faith is. And Lord, give me, you know, help my unbelief, you know. But there are some things, if we say that, then we will never have that kind of faith. If we say, I can't walk on water, I have to say, if it's the will of God, that's what's going on.
Yeah, yes, God.
Yeah. And I do. You know, and I may desire in a little place in my heart that he don't have that will. But if he does, I know he'll take care of me. And then if he doesn't, okay, he'll take me home, you know. But I think that, you know, we have said things that limit our own faith. You know, like this ain't going to never change or, you know, I'm so tired of this being like that. You know, are you tired of God's process? Are you tired of waiting on the Lord? You don't get God away, no, no, no. You know, so we say things in our human expression of frustration and life and events and whatever, but what they end up doing is becoming word curses for us where we are, which may be why they extend our period of time, extend so. There was one study we did, and I can't remember that book, that it lists, you know, maybe that was Levine, but it gave a bunch of lists of the different areas of when you suffer and why you suffer and what you suffer for. And so But I think we have to hear what we're saying. Well, actually, we do hear what we're saying, and that's what we believe, because faith comes by hearing. So if your ears have only heard you, you know, say that this is not going to work, this, you know, this, and the people won't do this, and then that's what I'm going to believe, because I've heard myself say it so much. Not what somebody else said. It's what I said. So, yeah, I believe me. Okay. So I decided that I am going to be a student of the word, in that I want to hear him and not me.
Amen.
God bless
you. You know, the 40 years in the wilderness for grumbling and complaining.
Yep, there you go. That's why he still walks. And they kept saying, we'll never. You know what? They never did.
And they did.
And there you go. Now, the ones who said, yes, we can, yes, we can, they got there. You know, and we got to realize that. And did they get there because they said it? Did they get there because they believed it and God brought it to pass?
Yes, yes.
So, absolutely right. So I know there's a call for this year to do something you've never ever done before. You know, make history and do something you've never done before. So we may want to consider actually. Overseer decided, I want to learn to swim.
You want to learn what?
To swim.
Oh, yeah, that's on my bucket list, too.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Okay. And then I will go to the river. I go to the lake with the kids.
Then you can go and baptize in the lake.
All
right.
Okay, y'all be blessed. I love you. Thank
you.
You
all
yes.
Be blessed.
Happy New Year, all. Bless.
Happy New Year.
Enjoy. All right.